This hour of the show is brought to you by Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show.
All right, welcome everyone. Thanks for listening. Jeff Horovitz here. Happy to be here with you today. Mark Howitt joins me for another busy show. At least it's raining. At least it's cool.
The weather is awesome. I am so excited about the rain. We need moisture, but also I'm a mountain bike rider, dirt bike rider. I love the trails when they're damp.
A little easier when you're not melting.
Yeah, when you're not covered in dust, sticking to your sweat.
Well, we've got a lot to cover, including the presidential election, I guess we'll call it, and the slate of candidates, especially on the side, the Republican side. I want to kind of go over that, but also a couple that are popping up on the Democrat side as well. So we'll hit that. We also have Larry Behrens returning to the program. Larry is with Power of the Future, which is an advocacy group for what I call sane energy policy for our country, which we do not have. And he wants to talk about, I hate this term, this title, climate czar. John Kerry. Talk about politicians that never go away. They're always there.
No, they're always there.
Climate czar John Kerry went to China. According to Larry, he won't meet with energy executives here in the United States, but then he goes over to China where they're building a coal-fired plant a week or something, right? So
yeah,
China, you'll figure that.
The pollution in China is out of control.
Yeah, it is.
If you look at the pictures of Beijing, Shanghai, it's crazy.
It is crazy. So we'll hit on all that. But I want to start with a little bit on the transgender side, because something happened over in England that I just want to share. And this goes to show you how sick this stuff has gotten. But hang tight for that. And if you got a comment, love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Get those comments in, and we will share them this week. I promise you we'll get to that. Kelly Broaddus is going to be joining us this week as well. Give us a big market update. A lot has changed in the real estate world. Why don't you give her a call if you're thinking about selling your home? She'll be able to help you out because she's got a big team around her that really knows what they're doing. Kelly, as these dedicated professionals, they work with you every step of the way. Now, me and Mark have been in the real estate business for a while. We've sold
quite a bit.
But a lot of people don't do that, and it's pretty daunting. Even every time I do it, it's different every time. An unexpected, what should we call it, hurdles always come up. Usually the last minute when you're about to close.
And there's always some new form to sign.
Yeah. It's got, and that last one I did, it was all the COVID forms. I don't know if they still have this. And it's they just add everything because I guess different lawsuits happen. The silly one
was after the last recession when a lot of people lost their houses. Then you had to start signing this form that said, the real estate market is cyclical. It may go up, it may go down. It's
really?
Duh.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, we need, government and forms and all kinds of things all the time just to make sure. Actually, I'm a little dehydrated today. I haven't been drinking enough because, it's cooled down. Yeah. And I don't have the government and the media talking heads telling me to hydrate every 5 minutes.
And you forgot.
I forgot. So, it's they're responsible if I pass out.
Not me, them.
Anyway, you want someone to walk you through the whole process? Well, that's Kelly Broaddus with the Broaddus Properties Group, brokered by eXp. Give her a call, 888-446-5602.
Okay, so when you get Kelly in here,
yep,
ask her about Sedona, because I just got some market update about Sedona that said the median income or the median home sale price was $999,990.
Not just a million.
We're $10 short of $1 million from median, and Sedona's higher than Flag, obviously.
Yeah, I don't know if she'll know that one, but we'll toss it to her. Flagstaff's probably up in this close to seven.
Yeah,
something like that. So, you may get a chance because we'll probably pre-do that with her. So, you may be around.
Ask her that tough question.
I'll ask her.
Okay. It just seems outrageous to me where we're at.
Yeah, all right. Go to northernarizonafinehomes.com. Kelly Broaddus will be able to help you out. Okay, so we've got this company in England, Costa Coffee, and they used as their logo you thought it was a beach guy.
I thought it was a beach guy until you zoomed in, and I was like, oh, this is a Franken guy, Frankenstein
type character. It's supposed to be, though, this company is advertising utilizing a what they call transgender girl. This is a biological girl who's had her breasts cut off. And that's what the picture shows. It shows the scars and the stitches and drinking a cup of coffee, topless.
Yeah.
So this is what they've gone to. So it's UK coffee chain promoting coffee with a picture of transgender post-breast removal surgery. And it really angered. And this is surprising because, you know, I thought Britain was completely lost. Right. Like the rest of Europe, they're up in arms about this. This reminds me, and this is no company the size of Bud Light or anything, of Anheuser-Busch, but it goes to show you the disconnect that these companies have, big and small, from what's happening in this country and how fed up people are. Yep. And there's a huge backlash. Bud Light's never recovered. Their sales are an absolute tank. They'll never be the brand that they once were.
Probably not. You know what? What happens is a lot of the people that work in advertising, art, media, that type of thing, a lot of them are in deep in the LGBT, the alphabet soup people, right?
Yeah.
And they've lost touch with what most of America is about.
Yeah. The advertising executives like in New York or wherever. And a lot of our policy, whether it be on those issues or whether it be on the climate change hysteria, you know, these are people that live in a different world. Mm-hmm. But sadly, though, how many people live in that world, population-wise, percentage population-wise, half the country now is living in more of that urban setting. So they've lost complete touch with what most of us feel is normal American life.
That's right.
It's a total disconnect at this point.
It is completely. And unfortunately, the money flows to them because they're the advertising departments. I mean, companies like Duracell, I forgot the number, it was something like $1 billion a year in advertising. It's just,
oh wow,
the amount of, that number's probably not correct, somebody's going to correct me, but it's an enormous amount of money.
Well, look at the
more than
the,
you would imagine.
Look at the big beer companies, look at the soda companies.
Yep.
Look at the car companies, how much money they spend on advertising, and just to be a little bit up, because they're, I mean, you're talking a soda or something, it's like, okay, I'm Pepsi, I'm Coke, I'm this, it's... Are we talking huge differences here? No, it comes down to marketing.
To marketing.
And they've lost touch with what it means to market to the average person, which I think the majority of us are still what I would consider the traditional, classical American average person, I hope. I mean, is there half of us left?
So the rule of thumb in business is you spend 10% of your budget on marketing, on advertising.
Yeah. Right?
And if times are worse, you're supposed to spend more to, you know, survive. And that's, you know, when you get these multi-billion-dollar companies, 10% is a huge marketing budget.
Yeah.
And you give it to these people who are really out of touch. They're, you know, from art backgrounds, whatever. They've just lost touch with average Americans. But they've got all this money to spend.
Yes. And so they got to come up with a program. And they also, I think another mistake that many companies make, especially as they get bigger, and bigger companies can do this and shed enough business and still recover, you know, they eventually realize, is they try to cater to everybody. They're trying to sell to everybody.
Yep.
Oftentimes, though, if you're conservative, though, you're not everybody anymore. But a lot of the big companies that you'll see at the Target or whatever, they're trying to get everybody. And I would say if you're a smaller company or even a mid-sized company, that's a mistake nowadays. Find your niche.
Yep.
And you'll do very, very well. And I think that's why, for example, like talk radio and podcasts and stuff have done really well, especially on the conservative side, because I can tell you on this show, for example, and I'm sure other shows, and I've heard people like Glenn Beck talk about this, you connect with advertisers and sponsors that share similar values. May not be 100% on everything, but they understand you. They listen to you. They watch you or whatever.
That's right.
And so they're a little more strong when it comes to these issues versus you go after everybody. It's like, oh, I want to get that mainstream media dollars. First thing you say, especially having you on, Mark, you know, we'd have them gone
right
in like 30 seconds. You know, somebody would say something and they're gone.
When you listen to radio, if you listen to this show, and you support the sponsors on this show, you're helping conservative values. If you listen to NPR and you listen to who their sponsors are and you go out and buy from them, you're supporting those values.
Yeah, and that's okay. That's okay.
But make your choices.
Yeah, there's plenty to go around is my point.
Yep.
But then there's the people that try to be everything to everybody.
That's right.
Like Bud Light. And they're learning that mistake. So anyway, good luck selling that coffee. I mean, ugh.
Well, and I would, you know, we're both cream, guys, but If I was a woman, I feel like I would be, this would be a big affront to women who have had double mastectomies because of cancer or something. You know, that image is showing what would be an emergency surgery for someone who has cancer or some problem like that.
Yeah.
And this is just, you know, gender perversion. It's sad. It's gross. Well,
and the reality is I haven't followed up since this morning, since I pulled that article, that they'll probably claim something like that. Like, you know, how could you do this? You know, it'll be something like that.
Yeah, who knows?
Anyway, love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Send in those comments. We always appreciate hearing from all of you out there. Let's see. There is, and no wonder why we've got drug shortages. You need drugs to like delete it, the imagery from your mind. Apparently, there's an Adderall shortage in the U.S. This is from Bloomberg. The U.S. agencies are urging the drug makers to boost output. Now, do you know what Adderall is?
I don't take drugs at all.
Oh, okay, but
not even
you're aware there.
Not even aspirin.
You're aware there are drugs out there.
There are, yes, okay. I am aware. I'm very aware.
So Adderall is used to treat, this is from drugs.com, which I didn't even know that existed until
Well, somebody made today. $1 billion off of just that name that they sold to
Yeah, I have some regrets from the late 90s when I actually thought of buying websites, like, and I did buy some, but just buying names up, domains.
Yep.
And, you know, before the big craze happened, before the dot-com bust, and you could have, if you bought beer.com, drugs.com, things like that, just you could have cleaned up if you waited a while and banked all those. Anyway, it's used to treat attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, and narcolepsy.
Huh?
See, Mark should go to drugs.com, and narcolepsy as well. So it treats quite a few things, but it contains a combination of amphetamine and dextromethamphetamine. So it's an amphetamine base. It's a stimulant. It's, you know, amphetamine. When you think of amphetamine, you think of meth, things like that. Right. Think of like Breaking Bad, yeah. You know, things like that. So there's a shortage of that right now. And that has doctors concerned, but you got to ask yourself, because so many in this country are on different types of drugs. Amphetamine type based drugs, psychotropic type drugs, you name it, antidepressants, blah, blah, blah. What's going on with our society that the need is so great.
So you'll have to fact check me, as you always should.
Yeah. Okay.
My memory is what it is. But I read an article a number of years ago, maybe 10 years ago or more, that there were so many people, and it's either Montreal or Toronto, can't remember which, on antidepressants. It was something like 45% roughly of the population.
Of Canada?
In Canada, on antidepressants. What happens is, when you go to the bathroom, those
keep you clean.
Don't get filtered out. Like, they don't get killed by chlorine and whatever.
Oh, you're saying when it gets into the city system.
So it goes out of the sewer and into the river or whatever. But once you pull your drinking water again, and so it's like cycling back into the whole population.
So you are on drugs.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, it gets down to parts per billion, and I don't know how much is that, but if you think about it, I mean, what's in the water, there's all kinds of things. Yeah. It's all that stuff is seeping into the water, no matter where you live.
So there was a movie recently, Cocaine Bear. I didn't watch it, but I kind of caught the title, Bears Addicted to Cocaine and Going Wild. So
is this like a Sharknado type thing?
That's what I'm thinking. Like, you know, all these people taking these amphetamines, and then they pee them out into the sewer, and then the fish eat them, and they go Sharknado on you.
You know, like, you're a fisherman. I like to fish.
Yep.
Not very good, but, you know, once in a while, grab one, right? They say that the fish pick up so much, especially like Owen will get crawdads. We don't eat a ton of them, but, you know, this time of year you get some, you boil them up, right?
Yep.
Especially those like shrimp, crawdads, things like that. Bottom feeders. They test very high in all kinds of contaminants and this and that.
So back when I was running for office, 2010, I think it was.
Right? It was Arizona House.
2008, I think. Yeah, okay. Arizona House.
Yeah.
I was speaking to one of the guys that worked at ADEQ, that's Arizona Department of Environmental Quality, and he was talking about in Lake Mead, you know, the Vegas sewer washes down to Lake Mead, and there's so many people on birth control pills and whatnot that it's actually causing genetic alterations in the fish right there in Lake Mead that are near to that.
Oh, really? Yeah. Like two-headed fish or
something? Yeah, like three-eyed fish. And this, you know, what they actually, I was told, is they're finding both male and female parts within the same fish. So transgendered fish
as a result of
people excreting the things they put into their bodies.
Well, you bring that up because I believe we do have serious climate issues, pollution issues, things like that. It's gotten a lot better, especially in the U.S. You don't have rivers lighting on fire like the late 1800s and stuff. You got to keep in mind when they were doing refining for kerosene, one of the byproducts of the refinery process was gasoline.
Right.
Had no use for it in the mid to late 1800s. You know, the big thing was getting lighting out there. You know, we went from whale oil to refined kerosene, so we were able to light up all these cities. But they were literally dumped the gasoline into the rivers, and you know, it would torch up. I mean, we've come so far when it comes to pollution, but there's a lot of things we can do. And I think these people waste their time. Like, we got a war on heat going on. You know, Biden was conferencing with the mayor of Phoenix, Gallego.
Yeah.
And literally, they got a totally unwinnable war on heat that they've declared. I mean, talk about stupidity here. Yeah. So they do things like that, and half of the country that still has a brain looks at it and says, come on, you guys are so stupid. You're not going to impact the climate. You're not going to, even if you bought into the man-caused global climate change stuff, and 1 degree or 2 degree, whatever they're whining about now, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
What are you actually going to do about it? But then we have real pollution issues, real issues that we could work on. Right here in northern Arizona, we've got the from 70 plus years of uranium mining.
Yes.
Navajo Nation, Hopi Nation, they're dealing with that and all the stuff that was left behind. Yeah. They're finally working on it, but do you think they'll clean it all up? They'll lose interest at some point.
There is still problems in the Moencopie. Moencopie is right next to Tuba City.
Okay.
Right? And so they had the uranium up there.
Yeah.
And it's leaching into the water, and it's causing reproductive harm in women up there.
I'm sure.
Still.
Yeah.
And this is why I actually oppose new uranium mining. Until you clean up the old mess, I'm against it. You go clean up the old mess, then we can start talking about digging up new uranium. That's my attitude.
You got that attitude. But the new uranium mines are so strictly regulated.
Right.
I mean, if you're using that as a leverage tool to try to clean up the ones that are out there, I can see where you're going with that, Mark. But the reality is, I think nuclear power is one of the best options we have out there. I don't know how you feel about nuclear power. I know it gets scary when you see Three Mile Island and three incidents. Three Mile, Chernobyl, Fukushima. But overall, it's extremely safe compared to the other things we're doing. Had we gone the nuclear route a long time ago and not freaked people out over it and developed it, imagine if we put the thought power into it that they're doing solar and these stupid wind turbines, we would have so much energy right now and wouldn't have these issues.
Nuclear does provide a lot of energy. Doesn't pollute the air like, you know, coal, natural gas, whatever. Every form of energy has its problem. Whether it's a hydroelectric is great.
It's trade-offs.
But then you have the salmon can't swim upstream. There's always something. But you're right, though. We need to apply our brains to how to make the technologies better. You know, France is already recycling their uranium.
France has
to reuse it
got a lot
again,
of nuclear power.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think they're actually all nuclear.
They are mostly nuclear. Germany had a lot of nuclear plants, but in a fit of wisdom, they shut most of them down because they're just going to do solar and
natural gas
and windmills and natural gas from your sworn enemy. Have you ever been to Germany?
I have.
Pretty cloudy there. Yeah. Pretty hard to do solar, but they're doing it. Go for it. Good luck
Europe
with that.
Europe in general is kind of cloudy.
Yeah. Let's hit on this more. I'd love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Don't forget to stop by my friends at Just Wireless right across from the Flagstaff Mall. We're going to hear Zach's going to be on the program tomorrow. He's going to talk about some big things happening at Just Wireless, talk some communications, also a chili cook-off. So we should have fun with Zach. But right now they got some huge discounts on accessories over there, up to like 50% off. Just Wireless right across from the mall in Flagstaff, also there on Milton Avenue there, right as you come off I-17 heading into Flagstaff. Get a new-to-you smartphone. See, that's something you can do for the environment instead of throwing a phone out.
I just throw my $1,000 phone out every time I'm done with it.
Crack screen, done.
Toss it, get another
one. No, you can get a new battery, you can get a new screen on the thing. You can get your existing smartphone fixed. Go to Just Wireless. This is your small town or hometown cell phone guru that can help you out. JustWirelessAZ.com. That's JustWirelessAZ.com. Hang tight. Back in a minute.
This is the Jeff Horowitz Show.
You know that I recently had the blinds replaced in my house. And when we decided to get this done, obviously we called my friends at the Blind Brothers, and we weren't going to deal with anybody else because this is a great Northern Arizona company. They don't use subcontractors, so you know who you're dealing with. Now, the Blind Brothers came in. They laid out all the options for us. We picked out, my wife Angela and I, a great set of blinds. They gave us a great price. We opted to have them do the installation, which they can do for up to half off the price, as well as any other advertised specials. It's a great deal. They came in, they took out all the old blinds, got rid of them, hung the new blinds. They work perfect. We are very, very happy. I want you to do your neighbors a favor. Call the Blind Brothers for a free estimate at 928-634-2423. I know you're going to be happy. That's 928-634-2423. Or go online. They have great monthly specials at theblindbrothers.com.
You're listening to the Jeff.
All right, welcome back. That was weird. I thought that the lightning hit or something. It just dived down on us
there
all of a sudden.
Big boom before I got here. Sometimes you see that flash bang is what I call it. It's like one of those grenades.
It's like, the board has a mind of its own. It's probably, I was talking about this with Bruce Sidlinger yesterday, the big tech companies, he's saying that sometimes he'll charge his phone and the new software throttles it down during certain times. So it's all tying into the grid and knowing peak times and this and that. So the board's just going to start going on its own too.
That's right.
We're going to have to go back to those old school ones, with the manual faders and this and that. We do have Larry Behrens coming up, powerofthefuture.com, talk about John Kerry, climate czar's recent trip to China. Talk with them. We always go begging other countries and, do this with us, or we're out of energy. Let's go talk to, let's not drill here. Let's go talk to Venezuela because they're such good people. And, but we never do anything here, at least not with these folks. Now you got this mayor in, where is this? Boston,
right?
Yeah. She's in Boston. She just signed a bill, and we'll get Larry's take on this. I'm sure he's heard about it. I call it destroying the American dream one day at a time here. Yesterday they banned the light bulbs. You can't go to the store now and buy an incandescent light bulb. August 1st was the first day, and Bruce Sidlinger and I talked about it a lot on yesterday's program. They made some rule, Department of Energy, to finally get rid of the incandescent light bulb. I blame the Republicans. I blame the Democrats. Bush put this thing in, and it slowly, Trump reeled it back a little bit. Now you can't, all you can get is the LEDs and things like that.
Okay, so the problem with the incandescent bulb was it gave off a certain amount of light, but most of the energy was given off in heat.
Sure.
And I made this point to the Flagstaff city. I said, look, we are in a heating environment up here because we don't have air conditioners generally. We just heat in the wintertime. So I'm like, any heat lost through your light bulb is just warming your house.
Yeah, they don't understand that, though. I talked about this yesterday. I said a lot of bathrooms, you do the bar with the light bulbs.
Yeah, but
it heats the bathroom.
At the same time, they want to get rid of fossil fuels and switch to all electric heaters. So they want your furnace to be heater, but they don't want electric heat on your furnace.
Yeah, but
they don't
use
want
a light bulb.
Your light bulb to give off heat into your house. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make sense because they don't know what they're doing.
They don't.
And we got a lot of incompetent. We got a lot of truly evil people out there that are messing things up, but we've also got a lot of incompetent people, mostly incompetent people that think they're smart. That's the worst kind. So this Boston mayor, she signed a city ordinance or bill, zoning code issue that bans fossil fuels in all new buildings, all new construction.
So
going forward, so you can't have
all new construction.
Yeah, I think so. At least in homes. Yeah, I'd have to read the law a little more.
Commercial gets even more complicated. Cooking in a restaurant.
Think about a restaurant. Yeah. It's like, whip up you imagine like Chef Ramsay whipping up the old electric grill. Right?
Okay, so now think about your barbecue grill outside.
Yeah, is that
can
next?
You go get propane for your grill? Or you
that's a good point, yeah.
Electric grill? What's going to happen?
I have no idea. So anyway, and this is spreading because even we're in Flagstaff right now, and Flagstaff has talked about electrifying and making it that all the new homes would have
Talking about converting 1,200 existing homes.
Yeah, existing ones too. Yeah. That'll be the next thing. So if they get the new construction, their next step
existing
is to go after existing. Mm-hmm. And we've got incentives for you. We've got this and that. And they'll force you to change that way. Remember, Biden was going after the gas appliances just recently until there was blowback. And now they'll do it. They just won't. They're going to do it more sneakily.
They'll phase it in.
Yeah, exactly.
That is the mojo of the Democrats and the left right now, is to push as hard as they can.
Yeah, and then pull back a little bit.
And when they get some pushback, they'll just back up a little bit.
Yep.
And then It's a little bit like a football game, right?
Yeah.
They'll try to run the ball down as far as they can.
Yeah.
And when they get stopped, they'll just reorganize and then do a
the incremental. Incremental, they get, they continue to push and get these things done. All right. We'll talk to Larry about that coming up. Hey, if you're looking at your portfolio and you're like, hey, it's time for me to get a second set of eyes on this thing, why don't you call Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management, looking at your financial life and looking ahead to where you want to be when it comes to retirement, your time horizons. I mean, this all factors in, and Glenn looks at all that and, you know, evaluates where you want to be, especially in retirement. That's a huge thing, and saving up for that and investing for that. Glenn and his team have an investment strategy to give you confidence no matter what curveball the market might throw at you. I always tell you, I don't tell you how to invest, who to invest, where to invest, anything like that, but I tell you, educate yourself. And I tell you, hey, and I also tell you just generally with our sponsors and people that have similar values, I think you'll find that Glenn has a lot of those same values as well. Give him a call. See if it's a good fit. 928-225-2474. That's 928-225-2474. That's Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management. Let's talk with Larry Behrens about John Kerry when we come back.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Ms. Kitty's Steakhouse in Williams.
You're listening to the Jeff Horovitz Show.
All right, welcome back. Comments, always welcome. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Happy to have back on the program from Power of the Future, Larry Behrens. Larry, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. Everyone's doing well there as well.
Well, we survived. I don't know if you saw the hype and the craziness in Arizona here. We had the heat wave, and it was hot. I'm not denying that. But you think it was the first time. And you're familiar with Arizona and New Mexico, I believe. You think it was the first time it was ever hot.
Yeah, and as luck would have it, I was in western Utah and Colorado, so a little bit north of you. But it was nationwide that weather suddenly became climate all over the country.
Yeah. Well, once we go to all electric cars, let me get your take on this, because, you know, you are a pretty big advocate for energy, powering our future. But fossil fuels is a big part of that, Larry. But once we switch to all electric cars, it should cool down, because there is a war on heat now, according to Biden. He visited Phoenix mayor, city of Phoenix mayor Gago, and they're at a war on heat.
That's good. That's really good, and I know if New York would just give up their pizza ovens, we wouldn't have had any problem, right? It is something. In all seriousness, you know, we know that it gets hot in July. We know it gets cold in January, and for the climate community to claim that this is this is a different hot, this is a different type of cold, this is their game, this is their MO, and then they whine and moan why nobody does it. Or believes them, because it is a sense of, listen, you continually cry wolf on these things. You continually say that the regular weather that we get has to do with the fact that, you know, I'm driving not a Tesla. And so the fact of the matter is, Americans know what is going on, and they're starting to look at what the solutions are brought by the environmental left. For example, if you want to have everyone have the electric car, like Joe Biden wants everyone to have, we're going to have to dig up gigatons, yes, actual number, gigatons of the earth. For every, you know, pound of copper we get, we have to dig up nearly 100 pounds of the earth. It just doesn't come out of the earth fresh, pure copper, and just ready to go. And so for all the copper we're going to need, along with lithium and other components we're going to need for the batteries for these electric vehicles, we're going to have to dig up so much rock that it's going to be literally impossible to do it. And they know that, right? They know that when they're setting these rules, and they know that when they're forcing these mandates. But they also get to go back to their, you know, little private jet cabal and rub their hands like Mr. Burns and say, look at what we're doing to our political enemies. Look at what we're you know, we're making all the peasants live in such a way that our friends are getting rich, our enemies are getting poor, and lo and behold, they're still probably going to vote for us. Americans are becoming very, very wise to where their energy comes from, who's trying to put it in jeopardy, and the lies that they're telling.
Well, Larry, I'm old enough now to remember things like washer machines that wash clothes, dishwashers that wash dishes. And I think a lot of Americans, and maybe, you know, the reality is that there's a lot of very young people in the United States that might not remember things like that, and they might just think it's always been this way. But now the Biden administration, and it's the Department of Energy and these unelected bureaucrats that come up with rules because Congress has really relegated their authority to the bureaucrats. They don't sit there and they say, oh, you do it. You take care of it. So that way they don't have to take the flack on it. But you've got the destruction of the light bulb. Now, we have LEDs, and there's a lot of good things with LEDs. But now yesterday was the day that DOE says you cannot sell, and Home Depot was the big front-page news story as all of them were being pulled, the good old-fashioned Edison incandescent light bulb. That's just one thing. But that's just the start, Larry.
It is. It is. And isn't it amazing how we're told two competing lies? Well, one competing lie is, you know, everyone's on board with this transition. We're all going to do it. We're all going to buy the EVs. We're all going to buy the right light bulbs. We're all just going to electrify everything because it's affordable and popular and wonderful. It's just so easy to do it. And then on the flip side, they have to mandate it. So guess what? Maybe it's not so popular. Maybe it's not so affordable. And maybe, oh no, that's going to blow a lot of minds. Maybe people don't want it. And so both things can't be true, right? They can't say that it's so wonderful that it's just around the corner future and yet figure out that just, you know, maybe 5%, maybe 6% of the people want it and that's it. And so then they have to take actions like they're taking with the light bulbs. They have to say, oh, well, we gave you the freedom to choose, but you didn't choose what you were supposed to choose. So now we're going to mandate it. And that's why, you know, the communists and the eco-left can never give you the freedom to choose because you may not choose what they want you to choose.
Well, here's a sad reality, too, is I know you're on vacation, so maybe you're not following this stuff as much. And I appreciate you calling in while you're on vacation. I wouldn't have done that, but thank you. And I know you're going around the country in your electric car and you're just stranded because you ran out of charging stations. But, okay, Ford Motors lost a gob. Was it $4 billion, something like that? Gob of money.
4.5.
Okay, thank you. You're paying attention. They lost 4.5 on their electric division and their electric venture on top of money billions they lost the previous year. Meanwhile, luckily for them and really the shareholders, which is what these companies are supposed to represent, they're supposed to return value to their shareholders. Their gasoline products, the things that people want to buy, did well and offset it. And I think they still had a profit of 1.82 billion, something like that. But they could have had a lot more had they not gone down the electric, the rabbit hole.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was really interesting because that number caught a lot of people's attention because Ford initially said they were going to, yes, I'm going to use their words, only lose $3 billion because of the electric vehicle. But then when they really looked at the numbers, they had actually lost, to your point, $4.5 billion. I'll just give you the perfect illustration. I happened to be, my wife and I were taking a walk this week, and we were walking across the car lot in Kansas, a brand new Ford car lot. And there it was, the shiny new Ford F-150 Lightning. And right next to it was a fully loaded internal combustion powered Ford F-150. Now, the Ford F-150 is not just the most popular truck, it is the most popular vehicle in the world. It has been for, I believe, decades. And so we're talking the one that everybody wants. That's probably why Ford is still making money. The fully loaded, every bell and whistle that you can imagine, internal combustion Ford F-150 was about $71,000. The base model, you have to, you know, go with maybe you get air conditioning, maybe you don't, model of the Ford Lightning was $91,000.
Wow.
And so that's about $22,000 difference. And you have to pay that much more for the Lightning version, which I'm told they can't keep on the lot, but yet here it was on the lot. You have to pay $22,000 more for the Lightning version. And we are subsidizing it, right? We're subsidizing it when it's made because the government gives Ford a bunch of credit and sends them a bunch of money to make this vehicle. And we subsidize it when an owner, if they do buy it, because they get another tax credit. In fact, by the tax credits that we've sent Ford to build these EVs, you and I may already own an EV. We just don't get to keep it in the garage because Ford didn't send it to us. But the fact of the matter is, you know, they are trying to convince us to pay this clueless, pretentious tax on a higher car, on more money on this truck, because they think it's better for the earth. We know that they are not counting all the carbon emissions that went into creating that vehicle. You have used up so much more carbon emission before you even get that thing home in your garage than you will on an internal combustion. You have to drive that thing nearly 70,000 to 90,000 miles before it begins to even think about breaking even on the the emission scale. And so, and Americans are doing this math, but the problem is Joe Biden already got what he wants. He got $369 billion in the Inflation Reduction Act to send a ton of money to the people who are ultimately support him. And don't be shocked when some of that money makes it back in his campaign coffers for next year's election. That's why he pushed it so hard last year, so they'd have enough time to get it out the door in Washington and see enough time to get back in the door into his campaign.
Yep, of course. You know, and here's the reality, just to wrap this up, Larry. I don't mind electric cars. I think there's a niche area for that. I think that you live in a big city, it might be a pretty good thing to have, you know, an electric car, and you're just commuting 30 miles one way, et cetera, et cetera. But things like this, eventually, when you lose enough money, well, a couple things can happen. In a normal capitalistic free market society, you go out of business for making right. dumb yep. decisions. Right. But eventually, your shareholders get really, really mad, you would think, and they start saying, if they're not just ESG shareholders and big hedge funds, they say enough is enough. And what the risk here is the government forced this thing, and the risk is it just shuts down and it goes away when there could have been something good if they would have let normal market forces just take hold.
Yeah, what a great point. And you're absolutely right. And you know, if the environmentalists really, really hate me, hopefully this will make them hate me. Just, you know, turn down the heat, no pun intended, a little less on how they hate me. You know, I've heard car manufacturers, they won't say this publicly, but I've heard folks who, you know, more in the dealer industry, they say, you know what, if they had put that money into hybrids, we wouldn't be able to keep these things on the lot. But hybrids don't count in Joe Biden's little future because they take gasoline. Right. But hybrids are something that if Americans got the tax credit they did for pure electric vehicles, the companies got the tax credits they do for pure electric vehicles, hybrids is a part of the segment that really could sustain and take off and accomplish a lot of what the environmentalists say they want. But no, lo and behold, we have to do this with pure electric vehicles because that's what Joe Biden wants. And that's what America doesn't want. Yeah. I would argue that, you know, fully electric vehicles are appealing to maybe less than 10% of the market. I think 10% is being absolutely generous. And so the fact they're trying to force it on the rest of us is more than laughable. And, you know, and here's a fun little stat. The vast majority of people who own an electric vehicle, not only do they make $150,000 or more a year, they charge them, what do they charge them? They charge them at their house overnight. If they have to charge them anywhere else, they can't do it. And for those who don't live in a single family home situation, where do they charge it? You're in a college dorm, where do you charge it? You're in an apartment, where do you charge it? Mm-hmm. Condo, where do you charge it? Yeah. And they have never, ever come up with a solution for that. And that really, they never will. All they're trying to do is disrupt their political opponents and enrich their political friends. And to that end, they've accomplished a whole lot.
I can envision extension cords all over apartment complexes, people getting electrocuted from riding over them. All right, Larry, hey, get on out there. Enjoy the rest of your vacation. Thanks for checking in with us. Enjoy your F-150 Lightning. Don't tow anything. You might get stranded. I'm sure it's a cool vehicle if you're into that, you know. I don't know. Larry,
I'm sure it is, but my wallet can't handle that. So
I've been looking at trucks and I couldn't handle the used ones. I was like, really? You want $50,000 for that truck?
Yeah.
Used? I mean, it's coming down a little bit, but all right, Larry, take care. Appreciate it.
All right, you guys take care. Stay cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're real cool here because of the getting some rain, so it's good. It's crazy.
Jeff, I really think Larry made a good point because we were looking at new cars recently and pricing the all electric. We're looking at Toyotas.
You look at new cars like every 3 months.
I know. Yeah. It's kind of addictive on that. But we're looking at hybrids and then all gas.
Yeah.
And I kind of did settle on the hybrid idea because you can get a car that all gas, 20 miles per gallon. Hybrid, you're pushing 40 miles per gallon.
Yeah.
And you don't have that price burden that comes with an all electric vehicle. Sure, the hybrid's hybrid might be $3,000-$5,000 higher.
But you'll get some good mileage. And
yeah.
I thought most car manufacturers were making the hybrids.
Yep.
But the one that really fine tuned this market was Toyota.
Right.
I mean, they have a ton of different lines. I even hear the Tacoma, which is a very popular truck, used to be more of a mid-sized truck, but these things get bigger and bigger, that they're coming out with a hybrid gasoline combo. So it seems like, and I'm not a car expert, so don't hold me to this, but it seems like they're kind of sticking with it. They would be, I think, if I was advising them and you'd get what you pay for, which is nothing, I would stay the hybrid route. because I think that mm-hmm. there's going to be so much blowback on the election. All these companies are distracted by the stupid politicians forcing this. And if you make business yep. decisions off of politicians, you deserve probably to go bankrupt. I mean, you're stupid yourself. If Toyota stays focused and goes the hybrid route and just says, we're going to just keep doing this, in a couple years, people are going to be demanding that and saying, the electric thing, $90,000, $100,000,
Yep. So the government, I don't think so. The U.S. government put out, what do you call it, tax credits for all electric vehicles.
Yeah.
And so, for example, the Toyota RAV4 Prime, it's a sort of a hybrid, but it's a plug-in hybrid. You plug it in and charge, you can get 50 miles off a charge. It was coming with a $7,500 tax credit.
Yeah.
Well, those have all been used up for Toyota. Each manufacturer got a certain amount. And so now you don't get that discount of $7,500, and the thing is just priced
it's too high above
everything else. Yeah.
And people are having trouble buying bread.
So if it's not government subsidized,
exactly.
you can't
afford it. So that means it's not a true thing because it relies on the taxpayers to subsidize it. All right. Yep. If you want to save a little bit of money, it is Wing Wednesday up at Sportsman's Bar and Grill. So if you're in the Flagstaff area, north of downtown Flagstaff, in the Basha Shopping Center there, go to Sportsman's Bar and Grill. You get half-price wings. Then you can take that money you save, because wings have gotten quite expensive, and you go buy an electric car.
And these are real chickens, not the lab. No, these are, this is not lab-grown chicken.
No, this is real. These are real. Authentic, and they have many different flavors, I guess you'd say. The sauces, the barbecue sauce, they got the spicy one that you will catch on fire, and Sportsman's will not be held liable for that.
Do you have to sign a waiver for that?
You have to sign a waiver. So head on up to Sportsman's Bar and Grill, get a great cold drink. Great wings and much, much more. Hang tight. Back in just a minute.
You're listening to the Jeff Orvid Show.
I've worked with Desert Gold Exchange because I know they keep their overhead low, and I know they pass those savings on to you, so that way they can deliver more gold and silver directly to your door than just about anywhere else. Justin and his family-owned Desert Gold Exchange, they trade exclusively in physical, tangible metals, a commodity that can't be erased or hacked, which is really important nowadays. Now, when you call Desert Gold Exchange, by the way, I mentioned the Jeff Orvid Show, they're going to help you understand pricing and the difference between various coins and actual bullion. Call Desert Gold Exchange. Like I said, mention the Jeff Orvid Show. Get a free investor's kit, 888-852-4343. Call them up. Learn how to get more physical gold and silver for your investment, 888-852-4343. That's Desert Gold Exchange, 888-852-4343. All right, welcome back. Just a minute here, and then we're going to take a little break and then come back with some economic news. The U.S. got downgraded. I don't know if you heard about this.
I didn't hear that. I didn't catch this one.
Rating. So we'll switch to that a little bit next hour. Plus, look at the presidential race, some of the Republican candidates, the Democrat candidates. What do you think on all these candidates out there? And Biden and Trump, we're going to throw that all into the mix. If you got a comment, we'd love to hear from you as well. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Don't forget, if you get a rock chip in your windshield, call Diamond Auto Glass, 928-779-4140. It's where I go when I just got one and driving Angela's car, the Mini.
Oh.
And passing by a big semi right in there. And so I got to go over there and see Diamond Auto Glass. They'll fix that rock chip real quick. Give them a call. Diamond Auto Glass, 928-779-4140. That's 928-779-4140. Right there on 4th Street in Flagstaff. Or go to thedifferenceisclear.com. All right, let's hit on the economy when we come back, Mark. And, there's a rare find of gold as well. This is an interesting story.
Sounds interesting.
Plus, a Republican has come up with a plan to freeze the Department of Education, but I've heard this before. I'll tell you about the Freeze Act when we come back. Hang tight. Back in just a few. This hour of the show is brought to you by Timberline Firearms and Training.
You're listening to the Jeff Orvid Show.
All right, welcome back. Hour two of the show. Mark Howitz here with me. Comments, we always love hearing from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. So the Freeze Act.
Oh, I was busy looking at our Middle East travel plans.
Yeah, I want to just change the show right in the middle. Well, yeah. my daughter, Isabel, got accepted to do a semester overseas. So Mark goes, you've been to Israel.
Yep, I've been to Greece.
Quite a few times. You've been to Greece. You've been to Athens.
Yep.
I've been to Athens. And she's going to Greece. So we're like, this would be a good time to check out some places. You know, I had Angela on talking about Dubai.
Yeah.
And she's like really sketchy about the whole Middle Eastern women.
She got my wife worried.
Yeah, now your wife don't want to go. So now that Isabel's gotten accepted to this, we might meet up because Mark may be in the area. Because, you know, you're in the area. So that's we right. might just head on over to Dubai and check that out.
Yeah, I was looking at going to Israel in the spring. Yeah, I like to go to Israel quite a bit. But I threw it into Google Maps. I'm like, how far is Dubai from Israel?
Yeah, what is it?
Well, it's 1 hour. No, sorry. 1 day, 2 hours with tolls if you drive.
We had to drive across Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, clear across Saudi Arabia, almost the entire country.
I'm not going to drive across Saudi Arabia. Okay. Yeah, I think I'll pass on that. It would be an interesting life experience, but...
Okay, so Google Maps gives you other options.
Make sure you leave your alcohol.
They give you the walking option.
The walking option.
22 days, but you have to go through Iran and then cross the Gulf.
I don't know if we're allowed to go through Iran. I guess
going through Syria, Iraq, Iran, and then I don't see how that's going to work. No good at Google Maps on that one, or a three-hour flight.
The guy, the author and investor, Jim Rogers, who did the round-the-world trip twice, that was a country he tried to get into multiple times and was never able to. He drove through Saudi Arabia, though.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, but Iran, they were like, nah, we're good. And North Korea, there was a couple places that... You just can't get. I don't even know if you can go to. There's sanctions on all this.
Right.
I don't even know if you can get over there.
Or well, if you wanted to. Dennis Rodman got to North Korea. But,
Well, then there's that guy that defected last week.
Yeah, private somebody.
Yeah, and he's still in there, I guess. I mean, imagine.
Gosh, I just don't even know.
Yeah, I didn't follow that one too much. That one. Well, we'll keep you up to date on that. I mean, I want to see Dubai. It looks like a great city. Pull up a picture of that, and the buildings are insane. It reminds me of the feeling people probably had in New York City in, say, the early 1900s when all those skyscrapers are going up.
Yeah. Can you imagine when the Empire State Building first went up? You're just like, wow.
Yeah, wow, look at this. That's the highest they're ever going to be able to build. And I think the one in Dubai is like three times as that.
You know what's really funny about Manhattan is you got all these skyscrapers and no view because you look at them and you just see other skyscrapers. Just what's the point?
Unless you're the one that's
By itself somewhere.
Yeah, or you're on top. You're way up there. Even so, somebody could build something, pretty neat. Even taller.
Yeah,
yeah. So anyway, we'll let you know about that. Okay, so the Freeze Act. So this guy out of Florida.
Wait, this isn't the Joe Biden Stop Heat in Phoenix Act.
No. This is supposed to. It's Representative Aaron Bean of Florida. He's a Republican. He has introduced the Freeze Act to stop the Department of Education from growing. I would like to introduce the Freeze Act for the entire federal government, state government, just everything. Say, you know what? We've grown a lot. It's pretty big. We're just going to pause. I won't even say you have to fire anyone. Although if someone quits, let's just not hire anybody to fill that spot. Let's just not grow government. Let's just try it. Let's just try it for like 1 year. And then in a year, you'd be like, okay, this is working out. My life's pretty much the same. Hey, let's try this for 5 years. And your life would be the same and then eventually would get better if you get these bozos out of our daily life.
So we had all these government shutdowns in years gone by.
Yeah.
They just shut everything. Yeah. And it's like, did it affect your life?
No.
Me? Not at all.
No. It won't affect your life at all. If most of these things close down, it'll affect the bureaucrats in there.
Oh, yeah.
And the political elite that just really just rob us left and right and just they use us like cattle at this point.
I like Trump a lot. He did a lot of good things. You know, got good Supreme Court justices, good foreign policy, all that. One thing I didn't like was when we had these government shutdowns. He, just like every other president, gave them back pay for when they didn't work.
They all do that.
I don't even know if he doesn't have
any control over that. And most of the federal Congress has control over what 30% of the budget or something. I know Andy Biggs gave us those numbers in the past. They don't even control most of the budget. It's all on autopilot at this point.
Yeah,
it's all been put in that they can't touch it unless they get a 2/3 majority of Congress to agree.
It's the same in Arizona. Almost all of our budget is designated.
Half of it's education.
Half it's education.
We don't spend enough on education.
And the other
half is education.
The other half, there's very little discretionary spending. Yeah, no. Of course, the budget's bigger now.
And that's what
more.
They fight over.
Yeah.
That's what the politics, it's like, even at the city, when I was down at City Hall in Flagstaff, it was, okay, here, this is all set, and okay, you guys can fight over this couple million dollars right. for different projects in this. You know, yeah. I was like, okay.
Yeah, the water's set, the environment.
Yeah, like, it's all
the environmental services, the police, fire, all that stuff.
So, okay, Freeze Act to stop Department of Education from growing. He said no individual may be, or the act says, quote, no individual may be appointed to any position within the Department of Education, and, quote, no new position may be established at the Department of Education. Okay, good. I'm glad. I hope that if...
I hope it goes somewhere, but...
It'll probably go somewhere. Here's the deal. They always do this when they don't have control. They right. did this before Trump got in office. Well, remember, where was repeal this bill? Obamacare.
Where was this bill? When the Republicans had both houses and the yeah. presidency.
2017, 2018. Where was the, we're going to freeze it. Okay, freeze it. How about eliminate it?
Yep. They introduced all kinds of bills yeah, like this exactly. in years when they can't get it passed. When they can, they don't
introduce it. Then they don't introduce it. That's my problem. That's why this is it for me on the Republicans. I mean, I'm so frustrated with them. The only reason I'll be like, okay, let's get the Senate. Let's keep the House and let's get the presidency back to the Republicans is because the alternative is so bad.
It's damage control.
Yeah, it's damage control at this point, but I already know what's going to happen. I'm going to be disappointed. They're going to get in there if they get full control, which is questionable.
Well, the House is on fire and it's a question of how much the House can you save?
Exactly. exactly. And it's like, okay, yeah, let's get rid of Department of Education. I told you about this the other day. This is the geniuses that are telling schools that if you have an archery program, or a hunting program, you're going to lose federal money.
Oh, my
God. Our kids go to the same school, Christian school, Flagstaff Christian School.
Yep.
They are introducing their archery program.
I love it.
But they're not at the will of this money. Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, let's see it. I love to see them actually do what they're saying they're going to do, but I wouldn't hold my breath at all.
So here's the thing about Flagstaff Christian School operates on half of the budget of Flagstaff Unified School District. Flagstaff Unified School District owns their buildings.
Yeah, very, very
they
true.
They don't have rent.
Flagstaff Christian Schools, like, they got rent and they would like to, you know, get a building because they've grown so much. And other private schools as well.
Yeah, private schools boomed because of COVID because they locked kids out of school.
Yeah, Olivia, get archery going. That'd be a...
Yeah, some of the other things they were.
Yeah, that'd be a good program.
Yeah, that would be.
Yeah.
I would like
I that. Think that's good stuff to teach kids.
It is. My 6-year-old shoots archery.
Oh, wow. Yeah, she's a
little eight-pound compound
yeah,
bow.
Yeah, yeah.
Not very strong.
She's but. Gotten pretty good at it. Yeah. Katniss Everdeen there. The odds that be ever in your favor.
Shooting anyway, doves out of the sky.
Yeah. All right, here's another one for you. Let it burn. Missouri Democrat Party tweet envisions Trump supporters' house on fire. So some Twitter user asked, it always starts on social media. They asked, what would you do if this was your next door neighbor? And they had a picture of, a Trump supporter house. And, you know, I think you can't go overboard with the political signs.
For sure.
I mean, you see some house and you're like, okay, I get it. And, I'll put this on the screen here. But this house had, you know, a bunch of Trump signs all over. It was probably a little overboard, but I'd look at that and say, okay, I don't need that many signs on my house, no matter what political party you are. But I wouldn't want the house to burn down.
No, I'm kind of laughing because this looks like my previous house. We owned a house in Cherry Hill in Flagstaff. Maybe that is.
I don't know where it's at. But anyway, so the Missouri Democrat Party allegedly responded in a now deleted tweet, which I just put on the screen that's screen captured. Quote, the roof is on fire. We don't need no water. Let the blanker burn. I don't know if you remember that song. I can't say the actual words. Tweet included the hashtag vote blue 2024. So burn down your neighbor's house and vote blue 2024. Deleted it, of course, you know. Of course. So
yesterday at school, nice. That's funny. They were telling us, like, because it was like no bullying inside or outside of school, and they were like, whatever you do on social media, it's never truly deleted either.
It is not.
Like, it goes somewhere, and they were like, we can find it.
I've got it right there, and that's, you know, that's the tweet right there.
Now, if those were Democrat signs and a Republican person said burn that house down,
yeah,
he would be in jail.
They would be arrested.
For sure.
Well, yeah. I mean, nowadays you just say something, and I mean, look what's going on with, you know,
January 6th.
Now you got the four counts. You got folks here in Arizona, I think they're talking to you, Rudy Giuliani. You got all people being swept up in this thing.
Yep.
It'll be interesting to see the Arizona connection on this side.
There was,
last I checked, still one unnamed defendant.
Well, President Trump is being named. I think I know who that is. He's being charged with basically inciting a riot against the government, overthrowing the government.
Does it work? Do you think there's more and more sympathy flowing his way? I mean, in a hypothetical matchup that I just saw with Biden and Trump, it was basically tied, despite, and let's switch to our next item, the presidential contenders, let's call them, despite their age. I mean, what is Biden, 80?
He's going to be 80. I'm not sure when his birthday is.
Look that up. You got your... Look up Biden and Trump's age just to be sure here.
Biden will be 80 at the next election.
What's some average male life? I mean, I'm not wishing. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going that road. I'm just saying these guys are really old, right? What's the average male life expectancy?
I won't hold it against you if you do. But.
Okay, what's the average male life expectancy in America? 72, 73?
No, it's like 76, I think.
Okay, look all that up, Olivia.
It dipped during COVID a tiny bit, and now it's
now it's going back up. Okay,
because you had a lot of old people die.
Yeah. Well, yeah, everybody dies.
73 to 74 years
is what the life
average male.
Okay, all right. And Biden is how old, and Trump is how old?
I'm getting.
And that. I mean, so everybody's different.
They're
above
that age.
I look at Biden and I'm like, okay, this is elder abuse.
Yes,
this has gotten really sad at this point, and you shouldn't be doing this. You know, you just got to stop. He shouldn't be out there.
No, he shouldn't be. And there's going to come a point where he can't read the teleprompter anymore. And they're not going to be able to prop him up anymore.
Yeah. So anyway, so you got Biden who's going to, I got a picture of him here with his ice cream cone. I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but it's like his family shouldn't be putting him up. They should say, okay, they should step back right now and say, all right, we've got these other candidates. We've got, you keep hearing Gavin Newsom, which would be a disaster for the country. Because he is a smart guy. I mean, he's not really super intelligent, but he's smart politically.
Yeah.
And he'll get things done and get things through that you and I won't like. But they've got alternatives out there. How old is he? You find anything?
Yeah, Biden's 80 and Trump's 77.
Biden's 80 now.
He's 80 now. So he would take office. He would be 81, 82. He would be out of office at 86. I mean, come on, people. And Trump, you've got, he's... What is he? He's 77, you said?
77. So when he took office, I don't know when his birthday is, but he's going to be close to 80, 79.
Yeah. And but age is just different for people. I know some people in their 40s and I'm like, whew, they're not there. And
right.
I know some people in their 90s and they're like, wow.
Yeah. No,
sharp
Trump,
as a tax. Trump is still.
He's sharp.
Yeah, he's sharp. And not the best picture we throw up of him, but. And I just wonder if there's enough, like if it is truly, and I think it is going to be a Biden-Trump rematch coming up. I mean, I guess things could happen with these trials and stuff. You can't see. So who's next for the Republicans then, if it's not Trump?
If it's not Trump, it's got to be, unless something really changes, I think it has to be DeSantis. Unless the environment changes between now and the start of the primaries.
You're thinking DeSantis.
I'm thinking it's going to be DeSantis. He's, whatever you think of him personally, he did a great job with Florida. And people are going to look at that. He can play on that and say, look what he did in Florida.
Trump's like 35 points ahead of DeSantis in the polls right now.
Yeah, but...
I mean, even everybody knows a trial is coming. Everybody knows this. And he's still... I still think no matter what, I think Trump's going to be... I think DeSantis is a good presidential candidate. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think he is. I don't think a lot of the others in the Republican field... are very good. You've got this guy never goes away, Chris Christie.
And yeah, no.
Where are you getting these pictures?
Seriously. So I refer to him as Boss Tweed from the 1800s in New York.
Nice.
That is kind of close. He doesn't have the beard, though.
He would do well to have a beard, actually.
Yeah. So you've got... sorry, I blocked you, Olivia. Chris Christie is a definite Trump hater. He's part of the New Jersey political machine at this point.
So we know that it's going to come down to who can win Arizona, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Minnesota, Ohio, you know, there's a handful of states, maybe 5 to 7 states that you that are kind of on the fence that you have to win.
It's not Chris Christie.
Texas is going to vote Republican. California and the coast is going to vote blue.
Yeah, yeah. It comes down to the few hand,
the few five states.
The flip states again. Yeah.
And could what is Christie going to do in Arizona?
Nothing.
Not well.
Nothing.
Right.
Nothing. So here's what I'm trying to get at. Who is the alternative? And then you got Pence.
Yep.
You know, there's no chance. He's polling at like 2%. He just came out heavy against Trump yesterday after the 4 additional indictment charges and, you know, shooting off his mouth and this and that.
I think Pence is a sharp guy, but he just doesn't have the charisma.
No, he looks kind of sleepy in this picture well.
Some people are smart, but don't have enough charisma to be president.
Okay. Then you got Nikki Haley.
Nah. She was good at the UN, but
Most people say, who's Nikki Haley? I mean, she has no, and I think a lot of these people just run for the name ID. They know it can't hurt them. They know they're going to get on a board.
A cabinet position.
I shouldn't say that. I don't know what's in their heart. I really don't. Chris Christie, though, I mean, how many times has he done this? He's run for president before. He's been out of political action for a long time. He gets on these special groups and all this.
Well,
he's
the reality is, if you are one of the, you know, the finishing candidates, you know, you're going right down to the wire in the primary, you know, the top 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys, you're all going to get cabinet positions. You know, you're
true.
Like a John Kerry. You end up, you never really leave government.
Well, John Kerry, still around. He's the supposed climate czar. We talked with Larry Behrens last hour about him.
And then, you know, Trump got Ben Carson to drop out last time.
And then he became HUD.
You know, and that's all arranged ahead of time. They're like, I'll give you a cabinet position.
Get out, I get your 1-2%.
Yep.
It helps me out. And then the only other one that the Republicans have that has a name is Vivek Ramaswamy. Business guy, young guy.
Doesn't exactly roll off the lips, but
Yeah, he's a young guy, though. He's 37. Nobody knows his name. Yep. I think he does have a future, and he's out there, to me, saying a lot of the right things. Doesn't mean they're going to do the right things. But that may be someone you watch rise up. So on the Republican.
Okay, so in reality, who has ever had a really strange name as president? I mean, you've got to have a very pronounceable
maybe times have changed. Yeah, that used to be the old political way.
An Obama, a Biden, a Trump, Carter, Reagan. Those are simple names.
Yeah, Orvitz.
You can't be a Vika Vuka Vuhu.
Vimswamy. Ramaswamy. I think that the name. I think that's changing though.
I don't.
Quite frankly, you don't. You
no,
think
not in the populace.
Okay.
With people who pay attention, yes. But the average person,
they're like, no, I can't pronounce the name, so I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's some other ones. So on the Democrat side. Let's say Biden is not the guy, which he should be. I mean, this is he would have retired if he was a commercial airline pilot. He would have retired like 20 years ago. They would have forced retirement.
Yeah, 15 years ago
right. Or so. The only ones they have is Kamala, you know, who's I don't want to be mean here, but she's a bumbling idiot.
No, she ran for president, right?
Yeah. She was in that field, right?
Yeah, and she got
of course. Green. So you've got Kamala, and then the other one that I'd like to see, and I'd like to see this debate happen, is RFK Jr. I think there's some things I like about him. There's a whole bunch I don't.
He'd be interesting on the stage, in a debate.
Yeah, but as president,
nah.
Yeah. So they're never going to get the media's already coming because he's polling at about 20% at this point. The media's already come out against him hard. I've seen headlines in every paper. They all coordinate it. Even the local in Flagstaff, the Daily Sun had a headline about he's anti-vaxxer, and it just went on and on. I told you the headline the other day.
What about Sanders?
Bernie Sanders?
Why not?
He's got to be 118.
He will never be the candidate, but he for sure will run. Even after he dies, he'll be
well, they'll probably bring him back. It'll be like this,
they'll be so used to his name that it's just like there.
Yeah.
No,
maybe.
They're like, he died? When?
Well, sometimes people die on social media, like some actors.
Yeah.
Like 10, 15 years ago, I was like, I can't believe Morgan Freeman's passed away, right? And then there was like 8 movies that came out after that, and I looked it up, and I was like, they scammed me. He's still, and he looks great. He's still making movies. He still looks the same age as he was 20 years ago.
He could probably run for president.
Yeah, but, right. All right, so there's, I would like.
What about Michelle Obama?
Oh, last minute convention thing, you know,
because the Democrats have that super delegate thing where even if you're ahead in the primary, like Sanders was, you don't get the super delegates. And the super delegates ultimately in the Democratic Party say, we want Joe Biden, and he's automatically in. The Republicans don't have super delegates, but the Democrats do.
Yeah, Biden could get up there and say, never mind, you know,
I
want to just hang out, ride my bike, walk around the beach with no shirt, and give him credit.
Ice cream.
Yeah, eat my ice cream. call it a day.
Work on a Stairmaster.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Your thoughts, folks. Those choices, that's what's out there right now. Or is there a white and night white knight shining armor coming through some last minute it could be anything. Okay. Yeah, I don't care. You know, I don't care who's president as far as what where they come from or any, I want the best person.
I do too.
And I just don't see a great, is this the best we got?
It's not a great
in America. Yeah, is this the best? Although if Trump got it, okay, if it's Trump Biden, I'm not saying my house is going to look like that guy's house that the Dems in that other state, whatever that was, are asked to burn down.
Right.
You know, but there's going to be some signs out because I'm going to be like, really, you know, this has got to end. And this the Biden corruption is out of control. The federal government's out of control. So I have no problem with Trump getting in there. I just think that, it's going to be a hard push, to get those independents in this country.
So looking back over past elections, which elections do you think had good candidates on both sides? Not candidates you necessarily agree with, but like marketable, solid, represented their party well candidates.
Probably have to go back to the 1800s.
Like a McCain Obama?
No, McCain. I
don't think he represented the Republicans well.
No, he was not. I mean, he was better at that time than what he became after that.
Yeah.
Of course. When was there good candidates?
Clinton, Bush Sr.
No. I mean, Reagan?
Reagan Mondale, Reagan Carter?
Well, no, Reagan was good, but the
yeah, Democrats, but I'm saying,
when did you have two good choices?
Yeah, a good choice on the left and a good choice on the right. Not choices you necessarily agree with, but solid, got their act together for their party.
Oh, man, I'd have to rack my brain. I mean, I'd have to go back. It might be.
Which just goes to show you.
Yeah, you're right. When have we had a really good choice all around? When have we had a good field where there's a lot of people? I mean, I guess back when Trump was running, there was a big field.
There was a big
Republican field. Yeah. You had a lot of choice, and you know it was interesting to watch the primary, watch them work through that process.
There's actually a lot of good guys up on stage. I mean, whether you liked him or not, but there was a Bush, there was a Carson,
you had Rand Paul,
you had nine people.
You had 16 people up there or something. It got a little ridiculous, but it was at least you had a choice. All right, yep. Your thoughts. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. All right, you need a new windshield? Go see my friends at Diamond Auto Glass on 4th Street. I've told you about them for a long time. My family goes there. You get a rock chip. Go to Diamond Auto Glass, 928-779-4140. That's Diamond Auto Glass. The difference is clear.com, 928-779-4140.
This is the Jeff Horowitz Show.
Better Helmet's been here on the show for 3 years now. There's a reason for it because so many of my listeners throughout northern Arizona have found that this is the best, the number one gutter protection system out there. It's not one of those cheesy screens or the leaf filter that just gets clogged up with all the junk. No, Better Helmet's got 40 years of experience, offers the best manufacturer's lifetime transferable warranty on performance and material. If you don't want to clean those gutters anymore, you don't want to go up on the roof, then you need to call or text Carl, the Gutter Helmet Man, right now at 928-318-6555. Never clean your gutters again. In fact, if you call or text right now and mention the Jeff Horowitz Show, you can save up to 30%. Call or text Carl, the Gutter Helmet Man, at 928-318-6555. That's 928-318-6555. Or go to gutterhelmetsnaz.com. All right, welcome back. Mark Howitz here with me. Olivia, we kicked Olivia out. Kelly Broaddus is here with us. We're going to be recording how you doing, Kelly?
Doing great.
Yeah, we're going to, we got a special segment coming up on Friday's show where we're going to really hit all the market updates, what's going on in the real estate market world. Maybe we'll give you a little tease on that here in just a second. So Kelly will sit in here with us. And if you got a comment, love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. I feel slow today. I don't know what it is. It's just, is it the clouds or something?
It's the Seattle syndrome, right? Too cloudy. Not enough sunshine. Not enough warmth.
Now we're complaining there ain't enough warmth.
Well, I got to be honest. This was the first summer in my 26 years here that it was a real summer where you were warm in the day and the night. and you could walk around at night in shorts. Because usually, even in the summer, you're like putting on long pants and a jacket and Flagstaff.
So predictable, though. They all flipped out over the heat. And I was saying the whole time, don't worry. When August hits, Flagstaff's going to be really cool in the morning. Sure enough,
yep.
You know, Angela's like wearing a snowsuit almost already. You know, I almost thought about putting on a sweatshirt, but I was like, I'm not doing it. Yesterday, I had my Hawaii shirt the other day. At the Hawaii shirt, I'm like, I'm not going to do it. So, all right, let's talk about the state of our economy and all the wonderful things.
You just came back from Hawaii. Did you buy one of those goofy flower shirts? What do they call those? Yeah, Hawaiian shirts?
Of course you did.
Okay.
Have you been to Hawaii?
Yeah.
You been to Hawaii, Kelly?
Yep.
Yeah. Did you buy the stupid shirt?
No, I was.
You didn't do the flower shirt?
I was 18.
I did the flower shirt.
She did the grass skirt and the.
I bought Angela one of those. We had our anniversary, and that's why we went.
Oh, yeah.
So I ordered on Amazon because I kept saying, we're going to go to the. Luau. Thank you. And you know, of course they wear the coconuts and the grass skirt, right? And I bought it, and she opened it as one of the anniversary gifts, nice. You know, the gag gift. And she didn't bring it, though. I was, you know. It's still sitting up there. She said she's saving it for Dubai. Yeah,
she's never going to get out of there. Okay.
Yeah. All right. If you want to get a new HVAC system, what does that stand for? H heating?
Heating, ventilation.
Ventilation and air conditioning. Does anyone use the ventilation side of it? I guess you run the fan. Or maybe if you've got a commercial application. Maybe I should have my friends at Gettles High Desert Mechanical. Come on in and talk about that and explain that a little better. Gettles High Desert Mechanical, they've done a great job for me. They repaired our furnace, our HVAC system. It's old. It's really old. And they were able to keep it going and bought a new board for it. They told me, hey, I'm going to need a new one at some point. So when that time comes, I'm going to be calling Gettles. Why don't you give them a call, 928-567-2200. They can service your HVAC systems no matter where you're at, Prescott area, Verde Valley, Sedona, Flagstaff area. They'll come on out. They'll help you out just like they've helped my family out. 928-567-2200. That's Gettles High Desert Mechanical, 928-567-2200.
Okay, so don't panic, but hurry and call them and get a new heater while you can still get natural gas heaters because you know it's coming. They've already outlawed those things in Boston.
Yeah, new construction in Boston, no
fossil fuels.
All electric. And I know they've talked about that in Flagstaff, but I don't think it went anywhere. Like when you get a client, Kelly, and they're like, I want a house, I want to make sure it has all baseboard heaters. Is that like a pretty high request?
Never. No.
Remember those things? It was like the 70s during the energy crisis.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know, that house has not been. And it probably has the shag carpet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It didn't work then. And it's
well, the shag carpet worked. I mean, your feet stayed warm with the shag carpet.
Well, shag carpet's kind of come back. Like, you got that now. It's like retro, and it's like you can actually get more for a house.
If you have shag.
Kelly's just like, no, this is why you call Kelly and not me, right? Okay, so Fitch Ratings has downgraded the U.S.
So who is Fitch?
Rating house, you know.
Okay.
Remember the, was there, there's the, like Moody's, there's that would go out, and Fitch, and S&P, something like that. One of the big ratings. Thanks for asking a question I don't have an answer for. It was
Isn't that
your job to look up things that I don't know, which is just about everything? So, but they downgraded the U.S. As far as the ratings. So
we were like A++ or something.
Well, here it is right here. Fitch downgrades the United States long-term ratings to AA+ from AAA with an outlook as stable. U.S. is not going to default on treasuries and things like that. They will in a sense that they're going to devalue the currency and keep printing money, and your treasuries will be worth less. Yep. I'm not saying they'll be worthless. They'll be worth less. That makes sense.
So we went from a AAA to a AA+.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, big thing is, though, you've got a lot of treasuries coming up in the next, I think there's something like 25 trillion floating around out there. Something like that. I had looked up the number earlier. So you've got all this coming up. A big thing to also keep kind of on your radar later in August, I think it's August 22nd, the BRIC countries are meeting. And the talk is they want to come up with a gold-backed like crypto type currency for the BRIC countries. Now, I don't know if that'll actually happen, but I think if someone comes up with a currency that actually has something behind it other than the good old faith of the politicians, or what is it, the U.S., the faith of good faith and credit of the U.S., yeah. U.S. government or whatever, right? I mean, if somebody comes up with something real, I think we may have some real problems here in the U.S. because a lot of countries might say, I mean, look what's happening, how we use sanctions around the world. So Russia, for example, other countries look at it and say, you know, I don't know if I can trust using the dollar. When you're a reserve currency, you're supposed to kind of be a neutral party. It's like, hey, we just want you to use the currency, and you're not supposed to really use the currency as a battle tool going forward. So what I don't know if anything will come of this with the BRICS. What I heard is they're waiting for actually Japan and Mexico. They're both looking at, do they become members of the BRIC nations, which typically was Brazil, Russia, India, China. And now there's a whole bunch of them that are all coming together. So yeah, interesting.
Japan has a big problem because their GDP to debt ratio is ridiculous.
Yeah. They have a lot of internal savings though.
Okay.
That's the one thing is they owe a lot of that money to themselves.
Yep.
But they have a demographic nightmare. No kids.
Right.
They're not having kids, which is a problem in the West in general, right?
It is.
They're not having kids, but also Japan, you think our immigration, you know, people say, oh, the U.S., you're not letting people in. Japan, you could be there like three generations. You are not becoming a citizen. They're a very, what's the word I'm looking for, homogenous society. You're Japanese. If you're there, you're Japanese. You're not Japanese this, Japanese that, or whatever. You are Japanese, and you're not going to become a citizen. So they don't have enough workers. They've got that demographic cliff that they're facing there. So,
well, yeah, they're an island, so you can't just jump a fence and come in as a worker, right? You have to cross a large body of water.
Stop people from Cuba and stuff, you know. Right. But then sometimes I think if you're coming from Cuba, you build that raft, and you actually made it that far.
Come on
in. You're kind of a go-getter at that yes. point, right? I mean, it's not like you walk across the border and you're like, take me.
Right.
You know, and it's just like, here's your phone. I mean, at least accomplish a challenge here.
If you make it hard to get in the U.S. and you still get here, well, maybe you should get a reward because you're a hard worker.
You make it really hard. It's like,
you're smart. You're hard working. Yeah.
Your thoughts, we get emails on that. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. So, yeah, there's something to watch. Now, on the same front of gold, in Kentucky, in a cornfield, somebody found a bunch of 1860s gold buried in a cornfield, like rare gold coins. I don't know if I got a picture
here.
Just spread out, a whole bunch. They unearthed them, great shape. That's the thing about gold. You buried it, it's
still there.
It's good. It's good forever. Yep. So, yeah, a bunch of gold found in Kentucky and worth about $2 million. Oh.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah. So I'm like digging around my cornfield. You know, Mark, you've got that. Hold that up. You've got that corn.
Oh yeah,
this is straight from our Camp Verde field, and I didn't find any gold though. That's the corn's like gold to
this
me.
This is
though.
Going right on my fossil fuel barbecue grill.
Oh, you do it that way? Yeah,
yeah, oh yeah.
That's a good way to do it. Yeah, fossil. I either boil it or we do it on the barbecue.
Barbecue's great. Yeah,
barbecue's really, but you usually need the husk though, and I took the husk out.
Yeah, because otherwise you got to turn it a lot.
Yeah, we have attention. the worms.
Yep,
there's been
grub worms, and
yeah,
which is a sign that the food is healthy and not covered in pesticides.
That's what I looked at. I was like, I don't want to do the pesticides. And yep. I know some people, they'll take the like Vaseline or oil and they'll like do the tops of each one.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm going to be out there
that's
like for days. I mean, we have a lot of corn out there and it's like, I can't do that, but we'll see next year. Cause I'm going to plant more fields. So do I have to spray something? Is there some kind of natural
so, like, type of pesticide? You've piqued my interest. I'm going to have to ask my mother. Cause we used to grow a lot of corn. I was on a farm as a kid.
Oh, really?
And we grew quite a bit of corn.
Yeah. Did you tell me that before?
Probably, but yeah. Up in upstate New York.
Okay. It's a great, great place up there.
Yeah, that's nice. We had a big garden.
Yeah.
Like probably an acre of corn or something, half acre of corn.
Yeah, good. That's like a hobby farm now.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah.
Okay. It's not for us to eat.
So how are there people buying, real quick, because Kelly will be on Friday's show. We'll do a really big market update. How's the market? I mean, when I've seen nationwide that, hey, it's kind of like people are buying the high-end stuff, but maybe not the lower end, the middle stuff, because of the interest rates and all that. I mean, the Fed just raised interest rates, I think, another quarter point last week. So what are you seeing, if you could 30,000 foot it for us, Kelly? And Kelly Broaddus is here with us.
anything over 975, which is the benchmark for luxury in Flagstaff area, it's still going like hotcakes.
975. Mm-hmm. So entry level homes.
$1 million entry level.
Yeah.
Well, that's luxury, but there, we have a seller's market going on there. The most attractive price band is 1.7 to 1.9 in the luxury world.
So 1.7, 1.9. Wow.
I wonder, is that because people who are wealthier are looking for a place to hedge their money and they're putting it into real estate?
I think so. Okay. You know, they don't feel what we feel, normal people feel.
Right.
You know? And yeah. You know, the lower price ranges, they're still selling because it's so hot in Phoenix that they just flock here like geese, you know. And we're seeing a lot of interest rate buy downs, a lot of that. I just had one where they bought down 12 or 15,000 in rate buy down.
Wow.
So okay.
You better be in the home for a while. Right?
Exactly.
To make that back because you're paying it up front.
Right.
Yeah.
So it better be a primary residence.
What do people say? And are they like in the 7% range now? Is that pretty
close to 7?
Close to 7. So it's been kind of like that for a while, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's I'm surprised it's not higher with how fast the interest rates have actually gone up.
Yeah.
Interesting. So I wonder
in the luxury market, they're probably coming in with cash, I'm guessing.
That's what I was going to ask.
It's financed, really? but a lot of cash too.
A lot down, probably. Okay.
Out of town, out of state. I mean, to come up with that kind of money, is are they selling out in California still, or is it all over the country?
It's all over, but here they're coming up from Phoenix and buying. You know?
Well, think about it. Okay, you've got Phoenix. You've got Maricopa County's 5.5 million people now, right?
And growing.
It's crazy the growth. You've got those huge chip factories.
Yes, it's going to be more demand for housing down there.
There's going to be more. So, but then you got people. I'm working at the chip factory. I'm making, you know, 6 figures plus.
Yep.
My spouse is working at another place. I'm making bank. I want to get out of this heat. I'm going to go to Flag. I'm going to go to Prescott, and they're buying it up.
Yeah.
But the pressure on people that have been here then. And we've talked about this in the past, Kelly, it's impossible for a lot of people who like our kids, you want to stay. Okay. We're going to start. I mean, the days of the $400,000 or $500,000 junker sound like they're almost gone.
Oh, well, I mean,
right
now we have on the market on our MLS, there's 438 active listings. If you remember,
is that a lot?
Yes.
Okay.
Last time I was here, if you remember, we were trying to hit 200. So we're at 438 active. Hmm. That's
more than double.
That's great. You know, and people are having to, you know, the folks that you're talking about, they can still buy a nice home in Williams, 300,000 to 400,000. Maybe it's manufactured, but they can do that. And it's not that far.
No, it's not. And start. You got to get in. You got to get in.
And entry.
But that's fine because that gives you time to be in the market. Right. And I
getting
think homeownership
getting
in as soon as you can. Look, if you're going to move in 6 months.
Yeah, rent.
Doesn't make sense. But the rental market's still really tight as well. I mean, there's, rentals and they fly off the shelf.
Short-term rentals have fallen like a stone, though, for
some
reason.
That got saturated, yeah.
Well, everybody thought, I'm going to do it. And so you go and look, and it's just like...
lots of availability.
Now. Is there going to be a lot of those coming on the market, you think? I don't know.
I haven't seen a bunch of them, but I've just heard, especially in Sedona, that...
yes, that I own one down there.
Short-term rentals, they're having a hard time renting them.
Are you renting it?
Summertime is dead. We had...
really?
Two rentals... like 2 weeks all summer.
Huh. Ooh.
But that's typical in Sedona because it's so hot there.
Mm-hmm.
So June, July, August is kind of dead. But then September through May is, if we're not starting to see bookings, then I'm going to start thinking about long-term rentaling it.
Yeah.
Which the city of Sedona is offering.
Oh, they give an incentive. That's right.
Yeah. They'll give you, they would give me for my one bedroom VRBO $6,000 a year if I long-term rental it.
Huh.
So there's a point where you're like, okay, maybe that's the
option.
You have
to leave it off the market for a while, though.
You just have to have a one-year lease.
Short-term rentals.
Yeah, 1 year lease, and they'll give you $6,000. If you go for another year, they give you another $6,000.
All right.
I have another couple that, you know, they sold their place out in Doney, and they're buying one in University Heights that, you know, 800 and 80, I guess it is, but it has a little ADU attached to the house.
Oh, accessory dwelling, like a mother-in-law quarters or whatever you call them. Yeah.
So they can rent that.
Yeah, because they're changing. They're changing the rules where you can rent it to even non-family. Correct.
Oh yeah.
Correct.
Did they already do that?
Oh okay.
Everybody should have. I mean, I think that's a great
It's a great way to supplement
income, also to help the housing stock.
It does.
The rental stock. Right. I mean, I'm saying this as someone who's in the rental business. I don't really doesn't serve my interests, quite frankly. All right, love
but
to
for
hear from
family,
you. Yeah, for it. No, it's a good idea. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Kelly mentioned Williams. If you are going to head out to Williams and look for some real estate or just enjoy cool downtown Williams, maybe you're coming up from the heat, stop by Miss Kitty's Steakhouse, former mayor of Williams, John Moore. That's his place. Great steaks.
Yep.
Great food, great breakfast from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. as well. Go right there on Route 66. So walk around, go do some of the, maybe that zip line. I did that with me and Jerry Neighbors, former Mayor Flagstaff, and Mayor John Moore, and one of the council members at the time.
Great.
We all did that. That it's like a chair, though. It's not like the one you strap in. Yeah, and it goes like right over the road there. Anyway, go to Miss Kitty's Steakhouse. Great food there, and I can't wait to get back out there myself. Hang tight. Back in just a minute.
You're listening to the Jeff Horvitz Show.
Car repairs can be stressful. Jeff Horvitz here. And since most shops pay their mechanics a flat rate based on the auto repair, your mechanic can either be racing against the clock or tempted to tack on extra parts. Now, crazy country boys, they don't play that game. And their shop rates are about 30% less. Now, Big Jim makes sure his technicians are not rushing and that you only pay for the parts that you really need. As a TechNet through CarQuest Service Center, all parts and labor are backed by a 24-month, 24,000-mile nationwide warranty. Now, CarQuest, that's another great company in Flagstaff, family-owned auto parts store in Flagstaff serving you for over half a century. Don't overpay for auto repair or service. Call Big Jim at Crazy Country Boys Services at 928-607-9753. That's 928-607-9753. 928-607-9753. Crazy Country Boys Services, using only CarQuest guaranteed auto parts. Crazy good. Just past the Flagstaff Mall off the East Empire Avenue exit. I think we informed people today.
I think so.
Some days I'm like, did we do? Did we help? I think we did.
It was good being back in. Looks like I'm.
You'll be in next week.
3 days next week, including one day where you're off.
Yeah, you're going to host. I gotta go pick the rest of the corn. Kelly Broaddus will be back with us Friday. She's going to stay late. We're going to do a special segment on the real estate market. Lots of details. All right. Zach joins us tomorrow from Just Wireless. It's going to be fun. Have a great, safe night. Take care. See you soon.